I'd like to thank the sponsors for this morning's shiur, who have sponsored Le'ilui Nishmas Dov Ari Ben Yisrael Alav HaShalom, Bruce Wenger, and it was sponsored by our friends from West Hempstead, Meryl and Jeremy Strauss, Risa and Mordechai Pollack, Adina and David Frankel, and Anat and Eli Schick. And we thank you very much for this very meaningful sponsorship. And Amir Hashem, Dov Ari Ben Yisrael should have an Ilui HaNeshama from the Divrei Torah that we will share this morning. We all know that on Pesach, the Megillah that we choose to focus on, that we choose to read, is Megillas Shir HaShirim. And that is what I wanted to speak about this morning. Why is that something that is the focal point of the Yom Tov of Pesach? Why is it that some have the practice that on Leil HaSeder, they read Shir HaShirim at the end of the Seder? I think this is something worth giving some attention to and having a better understanding so that we can really walk away with a perspective that is helpful for the holiday of Pesach itself. So let us begin with what Rav Soloveitchik writes in one of his Svarim, where he talks about in general what his feelings are with regard to the lack of appreciation for the study of Tanakh in general. And I think that that's a really good point. It's a really important point that maybe we don't take Tanakh seriously enough and we don't realize how relevant Tanakh actually is. It's not just stories. It's stories that are relevant to all of us. There were many things that happened in the days of the Tanakh, but not all of them were recorded. In fact, there was a major debate at the time of Mordechai and Esther. Kisvuni Ledoros, Esther said, I want you to write the story down for all eternity, that all Jews and all future generations should be aware of it. And not all the Chachamim agreed. And at the time, there was a major debate. Does this belong in Tanakh or maybe not? It means that not every single encounter, not every single experience, not everything that transpired in Jewish history is worthy of being written. Which means that the things that were given over and are written down are obviously very, very significant. So let's begin with what he says. Bitzar alai lekvoa. I am sorry to tell you, says Rav Soloveitchik, ki Yehudim Rabim, that many Jews einam ponim el haTanach bibakashas hadracha. Many people are looking for hadracha in life. They're looking for direction. They're looking for perspective. And the last place they would think to look is the Tanakh itself, which is the most obvious. Baharei misalmim legamri, and they neglect, they overlook entirely, min hameser haruchani shel sefer hazeh, from all the messages that are latent in the psukim, in Tanakh. Asher yefshir hayom la'adam iladav, how can a person live without having the resonant messages of all of our greats who came before us, who are listed in Tanakh? Gishasenu ala Tanakh ve'el parshanuso hi le'itim krovos midei darshanit. He says many people, when they get up to read Tanakh, what they focus on is the metaphorical aspects, the allegory. They're thinking about the stories, they're giving drushas, they're saying very nice ideas. But he says, Zegishatam shel batei hakneses u'shel duchan hadarshan ha'omed bo. And there are many svarim, he writes, that have very inspiring words, and pitgamim popularim, there are many very famous lines from Tanakh. Baram, however, hapan ha'nifla b'yosar shel ha'tanakh, the greatest aspect of Tanakh itself, Hutvisas olamo v'hashkafaso haruchnis ala adam. It is the outlook, the attitude, and the perspective, the point of view that it could give a person on life itself. V'ala olam gam yachad. And that, he says, is lacking. You know, today, there are so many Yemei Iyun in Israel where they study Tanakh and they go into the Parshanut. And all of it is wonderful, but it's also missing the mark. It's all nice. You find a word here and a word there and you make a connection. First of all, it's not so clear that those connections are able to be made. My father has major issues with this whole issue, with this whole way. Rav Asher Weiss has told me as well. He says, it's interesting. I don't know if it's emes. I don't know if it's true. I don't know if it's not. The Gemara does tell us about differences that exist between Nach and Torah, and the way that they were written are not always the same. So just because you have a word that might find itself by the story of Yosef, doesn't mean that it has any connection to Esther or Malka. The two things may have no relationship at all, and Chazal did not tell us that there's any connection. So this whole genre of learning Tanakh is definitely interesting, but not so compelling. I know it sounds fascinating, but it's not so compelling if you actually look into the sources. Not so clear that it actually is MS. But leave it aside, that is certainly not the foundational aspect of learning Tanakh. That's not what it's about. The same way giving a drasha on a pasuk in Tanakh is not what it's about either. It's nice. It's all nice. It's all wonderful. And maybe shivim panam la Torah. Maybe there are many different ways to understand the same text when you look at it and you analyze it from different perspectives. But that's not what it is. Says Rav Soloveitchik, what it at its core is really having the opportunity to gain perspective and outlook from the psukim that we read, from the stories that we're familiar with or that we are not. HaTanach nosein es daito ala tragedia ha'enoshit. The Tanakh gives us a perspective about human adversity, about human failure and struggles. V'hatzlachoseh. The Tanakh gives us perspective on how we're supposed to think about good fortune and successes. Ala stiro shebekiyam ha'enoshi. What do we do when there's discord, when there's conflict and struggle in the human race? Al katnus ha'adam v'al gdulaso. What do we do with our own limitations? What do we do with the fact that we are all constricted in some way, that we are not able to just do everything in the world? How do we deal with that? Al Yehuda Shalachebra HaYehadut. He says, what is the goal and ambition? What is the destination of the Jewish people? Al Dirug Archeha Haruchaniim. What are the spiritual values and ideals? What are the standards of a Jewish community? Al Nitzcho Noseha V'Kishlo Noseha. It talks about the failures and deficiencies of society, and it talks about the successes and accomplishments, the advances of our society. And he goes on and on to write that this is really an opportunity that we have as we read stories in Tanakh to see what is the veiled underlying theme. What is the perspective that's being shared with all of us? And what I find most inspiring about this paragraph is, if you look at the very end, four lines before the end, Targil b'chipus achar atzmiyusi shali. What I have tried to do as I learn Tanakh, says Rav Soloveitchik, is to engage in an exercise to look for myself. B'soch ti'urei ha'adam shebetanach. As I read through the stories of Tanakh and I engage with the personalities and I get to know them, I try to identify myself in those people. Toch iyun b'giborei ha'Tanakh, as I read about the heroes, the icons of Tanakh, ani omer al bayati v'shailosi ha'bo'eres, I have questions that are burning in my mind. I have issues in my community that I'm trying to deal with. I have concerns, he says. I have fears. Al tikvosai she'ifosai, I have so many dreams and aspirations. Maleos hashra'ah that make me emotional when I think about them. Mitzias atzmecha ba'adam shel ha'Tanakh u'chavaya malhiva. Finding oneself in one of the personalities of Tanakh is a fascinating experience, he says. Hi machzekes es rucho shel ha'adam. It can invigorate and energize a person. Margi also mi da'agosav. It can alleviate and soothe, relax a person as well. And he says that is really what he tried to do as he went through the different svarim of Tanakh, to gain perspective on his own life. Try to put yourself in the shoes of one of these icons, of one of these heroes, and see how relevant their messages are for the particular issue that you are facing, and for whatever it is that you need to make a decision about, for something that worries you, for something that you're scared about. So, Chazal tell us, when we come to Shir HaShirim, which, as we said, is a major theme of Pesach, it was authored by Shlomo HaMelech. Chazal say that Shlomo HaMelech wrote three svarim. He wrote Koheles, he wrote Shir HaShirim, and he wrote Mishlei as well. Deeply profound, Shlomo HaMelech is the Chacham Mikal Adam, and we're told that he had a great sense of Ruach HaKodesh in writing all three of these svarim, which means that there's something very significant here. So the Avestor Rav Nosson has a fascinating discussion. The question is, is this something that actually has a place in Tanakh or not? Now you'll say, what kind of question is that? We all know that Shir HaShirim is considered to be one of the books of the Tanakh, but in fact it was not so clear. As we said before, with regard to Esther Hamalka, who was advocating on behalf of Megillas Esther being included, the same was the story when it came to Shir HaShirim. Barishona says the Avestor Rav Nosson, I'm sorry I didn't put it on here, Hayu Omrim, there were those who said, Mishlei v'Shir HaShirim v'Koheles genuzim heim. Mishlei, Shir HaShirim, and Koheles are not worthy of being part of Tanakh. They're not really a part of our tradition. Sheheim Hayu Omrim, because they said, Mishalos v'Einam v'Naksuvim. So Shlomo HaMelech writes, Mishlei, a bunch of parables, nice stories, interesting allegories, legends. These are not things that belong in Tanakh. These are not really meaningful. You have the story of Shir HaShirim. I mean, how does that have a place in Tanakh? What relevant message is there for us? And therefore, originally, says the Avestor Rav Nosson, this was something that went into Geniza. Yeah, you heard right. Geniza means the box of Shemus. Shir HaShirim, Koheles, and Mishlei were not looked at as being relevant aspects of Tanakh at all. So much so, the Mishnah writes that there's a fascinating halacha. If you touch Kisvei HaKodesh means if I touch a Sefer Torah, or I touch one of the Megillos that's written on a cloth, so if I have a Haftorah that's written on a cloth, the Mishnah says, Metamei Asayadayim, your hands are now considered to be impure. Now that sounds paradoxical. It should be the other way. If I touch a Sefer Torah, my hands are impure. It should be the other way around. If I touch a Sefer Torah, my hands have now been purified. That's the Purell. But yet, that's not what the Mishnah says. Where does it come from? So the Gemara explains what this is all about. In the days of Chazal, in the days of the Chumash, so they were very familiar with Tuma v'Tahara. People had to be very careful. Why? Because they had Truma. If I have Truma and I give it to a Kohen, so that Kohen has to be very careful with that Truma. Number one, to make sure that he or she does not become Tameh, because then they can't eat it. Number two, you have to be careful that the Truma itself doesn't become Tameh, because then it has to be burnt. So this was something that gave people a lot of anxiety. Where exactly am I going to keep this food in my house to make sure that none of my children are going to run in and touch it with something that it shouldn't touch or do something with it that they shouldn't do? So what do? They came up with a great idea. No one is going to sneak into the Aron Kodesh. So here's the good idea. If you have truma that somebody drops off in your house, you have some food that is considered to be Kodesh in your house and you're afraid that something's going to happen to it, let me just store it in the Aron Kodesh next to the Sefer Torah. No kids are going to play around there. And every day when I want to go get something to eat, I'll open up the Aron Kodesh, take out my truma, and I'll go eat it. It's a great idea. Sounds fine. What's the problem? Problem was as follows. We know that when you leave food around the house exposed, this was before Ziploc bags, you have achbarim. You have mice, you have rodents, you have insects come. So what happened was, everybody was leaving their food in the Aron Kodesh, and the Sifrei Torah were getting destroyed. The Sifrei Torah were getting eaten up by these weasels and mice who were coming to eat the food and running and trampling all over the Sifrei Torah. And therefore, Chazal said, from here on in, we have a gzeira. We have a new takana de rabbana. No one is allowed to touch Kisvei HaKodesh. If you do so, your hands become tameh. You know why? That's the way to make sure you don't put your truma in the Aron Kodesh, because it's going to automatically become tameh by being in contact with it. That was the way to stop people from doing this, because it was ruining all the Sifrei Torah. Now, Chazal said this only applies to Kisvei HaKodesh. Now the question comes in, what's considered to be Kisvei HaKodesh? So you're not allowed to put it next to a Sefer Torah. You're not allowed to put it next to Sefer Yoshua, Shoftim, Shmuel, Melachim. What about Shir HaShirim? So I have my fancy Shir HaShirim written on a cloth in a special cabinet in my house. Would I be allowed to put my truma in the special box that has my Shir HaShirim or not? What do you say? This was a major debate amongst the Tanaim. Well, it depends. Is Shir HaShirim actually a part of Tanakh or not? If it's a part of Tanakh, it follows the same rules. If it's not really a part of Tanakh, then maybe not. And this was a major debate back and forth. The Mishnah tells us, Rabbi Yossi gave his opinion, Rabbi Yehuda gave his opinion, Rabbi Shimon said what he said. Some said Koheles yes, Shir HaShirim no, and maybe Mishle yes, and Shir HaShirim no. Back and forth, everyone was discussing what's part of Tanakh and what is not. Bottom line, says Rabbi Akiva, the Heiliger, the holy Rabbi Akiva, Amar Rabbi Akiva, Chas V'Shalom. What do you mean? Lo nechlak adam Yisrael Shir HaShirim. You can debate from today till tomorrow about other things, whether they belong in Tanakh. But Shir HaShirim? You're debating whether Shir HaShirim belongs in Tanakh? Of course Shir HaShirim is part of Tanakh. She'ein kol ha'olam kulo kedai ki yom shenitam bo Shir HaShirim liYisrael. The whole world was worthy of being created for the day that Shlomo HaMelech gave us the gift of Shir HaShirim. You're going to say it's not included in Tanakh? Are you insane? Says Rabbi Akiva, that's impossible. You can't debate that. Other things can be on the table, off the table. Shir HaShirim is not a debatable issue. Kol HaKsuvim Kodesh, says Rabbi Akiva, all of the Sifrei HaTanach are holy. Shir HaShirim Kodesh Kadosh. Shir HaShirim has some kind of elevated status. It is Kodesh Kadosh. It is holier than all the other Sifrei HaTanach. In fact, the Beis Yosef writes in Hilchos Shabbos in Reish Pei Ches that Talmidi Rabbi Akiva saw their great teacher, their great Rebbe Rabbi Akiva, that he was crying on Shabbos. They went over to him and they said, didn't we learn in your shir, when you were teaching on Hilchos Shabbos, you told us that one is not allowed to cry on Shabbos? So what's happening? Why are you crying? So Rabbi Akiva said, you're right, but the reason why you're not allowed to cry on Shabbos is because it says on Shabbos you're supposed to have Oneg Shabbos, and that's not really an expression of Oneg if you cry. He said, for me, this is Oneg. For me, this is Oneg. Now, by the way, the Ramah does say in Hilchos Shabbos that if a person feels that they need to let out a good cry on Shabbos because there's something that's really bothering them or something that's really distressing them, you're allowed to cry on Shabbos. That is your Oneg Shabbos. This is what it's based on. But that's not what this means. The story of Rabbi Akiva. Why was he crying on Shabbos? Because he said this is such an Oneg Shabbos for him, says the Taz, quoting from the Zohar HaKadosh. Rabbi Akiva was reading Shir HaShirim. How can a person not get emotionally overwhelmed when you read the story of Shir HaShirim? How can you not cry? Rabbi Akiva said, can there be a greater Oneg Shabbos than to read Shir HaShirim and get emotionally overwhelmed by this unbelievable love story between the Jewish people and HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Is there a greater way to spend Shabbos than that? And says Rabbi Akiva, this is not the crying I was talking about when I said in the Shir, you're not allowed to cry on Shabbos. This means you're not allowed to cry on Shabbos because your business is not doing well. I got a call Erev Shabbos 2 weeks ago when all the bank hysteria was going on. Somebody called me from Signature Bank here on Erev Shabbos, and he said, we live in a frum community. Signature Bank looks like it's going under, and we're all standing here in line waiting to get our money. He told me there were people there who were waiting for millions of dollars of transfers from the bank. Their entire businesses were in this bank. And he said to me, what should I do? It's 20 minutes to Shkia. He called me right before lich benching. I was going to shul. It's 20 minutes to Shkia. I didn't yet take a shower for Shabbos. I'm here with all the Jews in the bank. We're all trying to get our money out. And who knows what's going to happen tomorrow? The bank's probably going to go bankrupt. Literally. And we're all going to be done. How do you tell such a person, go home and have a nice relaxing Shabbos and everything will be fine? Look, I can't say everything will be fine. I don't know what's going to be. But he said, I was really impressed. He said on his own that all the frum Jews went to each other, who were all in the bank, for hours. They were there on Friday afternoon for hours. Nothing was moving. They all made up amongst each other. Once it gets too late, we're all leaving together. It's not fair that one person should stay and one person should leave. We're all leaving together. Shabbos is Shabbos. And to me, I was so inspired by that. And I told him, are you going to have a complicated Shabbos? I'm sure you're going to be worried. I'm sure you're going to be concerned. I don't know what the outcome is going to be. But I told him the story about Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva said, if you need to let out a good cry over Shabbos because it will help you deal with your emotions, that's what you do. I did not tell him the Zohar HaKadosh that Rabbi Akiva was crying about Shir HaShirim. I did say, go home and think about Shir HaShirim. Maybe say it over Shabbos and remind yourself that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves you and that things are going to work out. I don't know how they're going to work out, but something can work out. And in the end, Baruch Hashem, everything did work out. Nothing to do with my bracha to him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does run the world. But I was so impressed that a group of Jews who were worried about their entire parnasa, that every last penny that they have that was in this bank, made a very courageous decision, which is the right one, but a courageous decision that once the 18 minutes come, they were all going to leave. And I was really, really moved and impressed by that. But says the Beis Yosef, if you're spending Shabbos crying over Shir HaShirim, what more beautiful way can you have to spend Shabbos than that? So Rabbi Akiva certainly felt an intrinsic, inherent connection to the story of Shir HaShirim. And that's why Rabbi Akiva says here, Chas v'shalom. Who can even think about the fact that Shir HaShirim wouldn't be part of the Sifrei HaTanach? All of Tanach is Kodesh, he says. Shir HaShirim is Kodesh Kadosh. Okay. In the very first parak of Shir HaShirim, look at the pasuk. Pasuk says, Ad shehamelech b'mesibo nerdi nasan recho. I'm deliberately not translating the words because I don't know how to. Ad shehamelech b'mesibo means there's a king who's having some kind of party. Nerdi nasan recho, something smelled. It doesn't say it smelled good, it smelled bad. Usually when you say it stinks in here, it means it smells terrible. But it doesn't say positive or negative here. It just says something smelled. When you walk into someone's house and it has a beautiful smell, you say it smells nice. But here, the pasuk doesn't identify whether the king at his party smells something positive or negative. So the Medrash has a discussion about how to interpret this phrase. What is it a reference to? Let's see this Medrash. Fascinating. Atsha Melech ben Mesibo, says the Medrash. What does that mean? Rav Meir of Rabbi Yehuda. There's a dispute between the Tanaim, Rav Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, about how to understand this phrase. Rav Meir says it means Atsha Melech. What does it mean when we're talking about a king? That's Melech Malchei Amlacham HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does it mean that he was at a great party, a banquet, b'mesibo? It means Barakia, God is in his orbit, which is a fantastical place. Nasnu Reach, what does it mean? Something smelled, it means a Reach Ra, something smelled awful. So imagine the scene. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is together with all the angels, all the Malachi Hashareis, and he starts smelling something awful. Something's wrong. What is that? That was when the Jewish people said to the Egel, Eila Elohecha Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was there with Moshe Rabbeinu getting ready for the greatest, most pivotal moment in Jewish history. Here we are about to get the Torah, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, something stinks. Something's wrong. Something's terrible. What is that horrible smell? It's the Jewish people serving Avodah Zarah, bowing down to the Egel, Eila Elohecha Yisrael, dancing around it. B'mecholos. Okay, that's the interpretation of Rav Meir. Along comes Rabbi Yehuda. Amar lo Rabbi Yehuda, his great friend. Rabbi Yehuda says to him, Dayach Meir, Rav Meir, I love you, but come on. Is that really the way to interpret this pasuk? Ein darshim shir ashirim leganai. We don't have unfavorable explanations of shir ashirim. Shir ashirim is just a love song. It's beautiful. What are you saying that this is a reference to the Egel Azav? Do you think Shlomo HaMelech would have included that? Ela l'shvach, Shir HaShirim is all about the positive aspects of our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's all about the advantageous moments that we spent and shared together with Him. Lo nasan Shir HaShirim ela l'shivchan shel Yisrael. Shir HaShirim talks about the love of the Jewish people to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and in the reciprocal HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love to us. So what does it mean when the pasuk says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was in this party, in the Rakia, and something smelled? Atsha Melech Malchi Amlacha B'Mesibo means Barakia. Nasnu Yisrael Reach Tov Lefnei Har Sinai V'Amru Kol Asher Diber Hashem Nasa V'Nishma. Rabbi Yehuda says, this is a reference to the same time in history, which means the time of Kabbalah HaTorah. But what's being referenced here in the pasuk is, there was an amazing smell. HaKadosh Baruch Hu looked down at the Jewish people and he said, did I hear what they just said? Nasa v'nishma? They accepted unconditionally? Who does such a thing? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, has there ever been such a great moment in history like this? Where you have a group of people, you have a nation who's willing to just unconditionally accept the love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and everything that comes along with it and the challenges that are going to come with living a life as a Jew? Is that really something that I heard? That's what the pasuk in Shir HaShirim means. Now, it's an interesting dispute. There are many disputes in the Midrashim and in the Mishnayos between Rav Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. All kinds of disagreements about all kinds of different things. But why does Rabbi Yehuda get so agitated here? He turns around to Rav Meir and he says, Dayach Meir, how can you say such a thing? Impossible, preposterous. How can you make such a suggestion? I don't know, what's so bad? We have many places in Chazal and throughout Shas, in all the Midrashim, where sometimes they say this is good, sometimes they say it's bad. All kinds of perspectives. The most famous example is in the beginning of Parshas Noach. What does the Torah say? Noach ish tzadik, tamen mayavid arosa. Noach was a great tzadik. You read the pasuk the way it is, I would say it means Noach was a great person. Oh, come Chazal and say, no, not so fast. Oh, I'm not sure if Noach would have lived in a generation where there were other people who were of his stature. Of course, he would have been a nobody. He wasn't really as great as you think. And it's just because he was living in a generation that had nothing, so Noach was everything. But the truth is, had Avraham Avinu been in the same time as Noach, he would have outshined Noach, and you wouldn't have even heard about Noach at all. V'yesh darshan l'shvach, and some say, no, what do you mean? The Torah says, Noach was an ish tzaddik, that means he was a great person. So we have very often throughout Chazal that we have these discussions, debates, is this person good, is this person bad, does this pasuk mean something positive, negative? Why is Rabbi Yehuda getting so agitated here? Why is he getting so upset at Rav Meir? It's a dispute like every other. Why is this so unique? Perhaps the reason why is because, if you remember back the story of Rabbi Akiva, who was Rabbi Akiva? He was the one who had 24,000 students who all died in between Pesach and Shavuos. After all of them passed away, it says, Ha'aya ha'olam shamim, the world was empty and desolate. Ad Shabba Eitzel, Rabbi Seinu Shebedarim, Rabbi Akiva identifies 5 students who are alive, who are prepared to learn with him again. Let's start up a yeshiva, let's see what we can do. And here, who were those students? One of them was Rabbi Meir, one of them was Rabbi Yehuda. These 2 Tanoim who are disagreeing here. I would venture to say maybe Rabbi Yehuda turns to his friend Rabbi Meir and he says, Rabbi Meir, did you forget how our great Rebbe, our great teacher Rabbi Akiva, fought so heroically, fought so courageously, fought so valiantly that Shir HaShirim should be included in Sifrei HaTanakh? Did you forget? Did you forget that our great teacher Rabbi Akiva said that Shir HaShirim is Kodesh Kadashim and everything else is just Kodesh? Did you forget? And now you're saying that we're going to be Dorei Shir HaShirim Leginai? Really? Did you forget who Rabbi Akiva was? Did you forget what Shir HaShirim means to the Jewish people? Maybe that's what Rabbi Akiva means. Lo nitna Shir HaShirim ela l'shivchan shel Yisrael. Our Rebbe, Rabbi Akiva, fought and advocated on behalf of Shir HaShirim because he knew how beautiful the story is of Shir HaShirim. Well, Shir HaShirim is read on Pesach because it tells the entirety of Jewish history. Shir HaShirim, the story begins with when we were chosen as a nation. Shir HaShirim starts when HaKadosh Baruch Hu came at Har Sinai, when he took us out of Mitzrayim, when he decided to be Bocher Ba'am Yisrael Be'ahava. That's when the story begins, and it goes through a pictorial history of the Jewish people until today. It goes through an entire history of the Jewish people until today. We don't have enough time in the shiur to go through actual psukim. I thought maybe Yom HaTzmaut time we can, because it's very relevant to the story of Yom HaTzmaut and everything we're experiencing today. But it goes through the entire panorama of Jewish history. And Shir HaShirim is something that talks about not only our love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it talks about the reciprocal, complementary exchange between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Jewish people, and the corresponding love. And if you go through the psukim carefully, you'll see what is implied through the words of Shir HaShirim and what descriptions are given about what this relationship means. It starts off with HaKadosh Baruch Hu standing under the chuppah, which means that the Ribono Shel Olam has a wedding between himself and the Jewish people, and then we sinned, and we are the unfaithful spouse, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu left us, and we left him, and back and forth, and we're looking for him, and he's looking for us, and we keep missing each other, and then we want to get back together. An amazing story. Really an unbelievable story. So the Shalah HaKadosh writes that there are many who say Shir HaShirim on Leil HaSeder as well. But the Medrash tells us that there are 10 different songs, if you look through Tanakh, 10 different songs that we find throughout the pages of Tanakh. Number one, first song that we have is Adam HaRishon. When did Adam HaRishon sing Shira? The Medrash tells us the following. The Medrash writes that Adam HaRishon did an Avera, his first day on this earth. He eats from the Eitz Hadas. Why is everyone having such a hard time ignoring one person in the room? He's not here. Don't worry. He's not here. He's not here. I don't see anybody. So the first story is, Adam HaRishon does something wrong. Adam HaRishon does something wrong, and he's nervous. And the Medrash describes, he's actually not nervous, he's terrified. He sees the sun is setting for the first time in his life. It's actually the end of the first day. He didn't realize that the sun's going to rise again. He thought, this is it. I did something wrong. Life is over. The sun is setting, and I'm going to be lost in this oblivion forever. Adam HaRishon is terrified. And he starts to do tshuva, and he realizes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepts his tshuva. And the Ribono Shel Olam says, the sun setting has nothing to do with you. This is the Galgal HaChozer Ba'olam. This is the way the world goes naturally. But I accept your tshuva. Immediately, the response of Adam HaRishon was, Mizmor Shir Li Yom HaShabbos. which is what we say every Shabbos. He sings to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What a gift it is that we have the opportunity to do tshuva and to experience Shabbos. That was the first Shira. Second Shira of Tanakh, says the Medrash, was Shira Sayam. We came to, they're taking pictures of the guest of honor, not of me. It's right here. Shira Sayam. That's it. Right here. It's a good thing you put on makeup this morning, right? Shira Sayam. That was the second Shira. Shira Sayam was the Jewish people come out of Mitzrayim, Az Yashir Moshe v'nei Yisrael. Then the Jewish people don't have water after Miriam Anavia dies. Az Yashir Yisrael, the Jewish people sing Shira again. Moshe Rabbeinu at the very end of his life sings a Shira, Hazino Hashemayim v'Adabera. Yoshua ben Nun, after he has the amazing story when he's fighting with the Amorim, and he doesn't know exactly what to do, and he sees that the sun is going down and it's Erev Shabbos, and he prays to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for a miracle, and the Ribbono Shel Olam comes through for him. Immediately Yoshua ben Nun turns around and sings Shira. Barak and Devorah sing Shira. Chana sings Shira. David HaMelech sings a Shira. The Medrash goes through all the different Shirim that we have, but Shira Shirim is considered to be greater than all the 10 songs that we find in Tanakh. How so? Says the Medrash as follows. B'chala Shirim, look here in number Gimel. In all the Shirim, in all the songs, it is Ohu Mekalsan, Ohei Mekalsan Oso. Either you have, we praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or HaKadosh Baruch Hu praises us. It's a one-sided song. One-sided acknowledgement and recognition. However, when it comes here to the story of Shir HaShirim, it goes in both directions. Hinach Yafar Ra'yasi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you, the Jewish people, are my beloved. You are so beautiful. And we respond, Hinach Yafa Dodi Af Na'im. It's a shir that is kafal umechupal. We say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yishakeni Minashikos Pihu. At the time of Har Sinai, we said, give us a kiss. We want to hear your voice speaking to us. We want you to communicate with us. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds, Hinach Yafa Ra'yasi. Hinach Yafa Dodi Af Na'im. HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds in kind. My father always told us, yes, he used to say it to us as children. These are the things he spoke about at the Shabbos table. So every Yom Tov, he says the same thing. When we say, Ata v'chatana mikol ha'amim. So we talk about how HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose us, Ahavto osanu v'ratzis avanu. And then at the end of that paragraph, we say, V'shimcha ha'gadol v'akadosh aleinu karasa. So my father, the way he explained it to us was, what does it mean, V'shimcha ha'gadol v'akadosh aleinu karasa? You have a couple that gets married. The standard in the world, it's not always the case, but the standard always has been, I shouldn't say always, the standard is today, in many communities, that one spouse will take the name of the other. Now, of course, you sometimes keep your maiden name for whatever reason, many people do, but there is a custom that one spouse will take on the last name of the other. In both directions. It's not always that the wife takes on the husband's name, the Maharsha. This is not from the feminist movement. The Maharsha took on his wife's last name. There were many families like that, where if you married into a prominent family, so you took on their family name. If your family was more prominent, took on your name. Okay, went both directions. So why is that the custom? Why is that the practice? Because when a couple gets married, you become one entity. V'hayu l'basar echad. You're working toward one goal. In an expression to show how much you appreciate each other and how much you plan to move forward with one love and one goal in mind, you say, I love you so much, I'm going to take your last name. Me and you, you and me, we are one. So you take my name, I take your name, whoever it's going to be, but we take one last name because we want to show how much we appreciate, how much we're connected to each other. With HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's beyond that. We each took the name of the other. HaKadosh Baruch Hu refers to himself as Elokei Yisrael. We are referred to as the Am Hashem. So it's reciprocal. It's V'shimcha HaGadol V'HaKadosh Aleinu Karasa. It's your name, your holy name, is connected with ours. You refer to yourself as Elokei Yisrael. And the same way we say in the other way, Ushmenu Karasa b'shmecha, we say it on Rosh Hashanah. Ushmenu, and our name, is bound up with yours. What does that mean in the other direction? We are referred to as the Am Hashem. That's what it means that Shir Hashirim is the Shir Kafel u'mechupal. Shir Hashirim is the double song. It's talking about our love to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and His love back to us. And this reciprocal relationship where we go back and forth with each other and we talk about how much we are the Am Hashem and how much you are Elokei Yisrael. And we show how much we appreciate ourselves, each other, more than a standard couple who just takes the last name of one or the other. This is to the extreme. This is, we each take the last name of the other one because we're each so overwhelmed and infatuated by the other personality in the relationship that we feel we have to bind our whole identity with that entity, with that person. HaKadosh Baruch Hu feels that way, and we feel the same way in the other direction. Rav Soloveitchik writes that we generally assume that Torah is so deeply profound. There are multiple layers of understanding in every pasuk in Chumash and every pasuk in Tanakh, and so much interpreting that can be done. However, the most basic level whenever we learn Chumash is the pshat. You have to know, what does the pasuk mean? Beyond that, Rashi on Chumash often tells us, well, beneath the surface of the text, the Medrash says this, Medrash says that, and it gives us a more rounded out picture. But when you read the pasuk in Chumash itself, it's clear what exactly it means, or you have to really understand what it means. Rav Soloveitchik argued, the only one exception to the rule, you can read it here on your own, I just don't have enough time to go through it. Rav Soloveitchik argued, the only one exception to the rule where there is no pshat level, there's no basic level, is Shir Hashirim. Shir Hashirim cannot be taken on a pshat level. There is no such thing. The whole Shir Hashirim is an allegory. The whole thing is beyond pshat. It's something that needs an interpretation. It's something that needs a much deeper perspective. There is no pashup pshat to Shir Hashirim. It doesn't exist. Rashi writes here, what is the basic storyline of Shir Hashirim? Let's see on the second side of the page. Says Rashi in his introduction to Shir Hashirim the following. Ra'a Shlomo Baruch HaKodesh. Shlomo HaMelech saw in his divine wisdom. Sha'asidim Yisrael legalos gola achar gola. He saw that the future of the Jewish people was going to be one exile after another, one tragedy after another, one destruction, one calamity after the next. What would happen? We would complain and we would say, I remember when we had such a wonderful time, we were living in Israel, we were having a great Jewish community, and where are we now? Now we're suffering, now we're struggling, now we find ourselves in Germany, now we find ourselves in Spain, now we find ourselves with the Inquisition and the Holocaust and all the different things in between. This is a relationship with God, and that's the story of Shir Hashirim, where we go back and we think about the good times, where we think about when our marriage was so lovely, when we really appreciated each other, and how have we come to this point? How can this possibly be? And the end of the story of Shir Hashirim is the yearning, the pining, to come back to those times, to those realities. So says the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, number Vav. When the Rambam describes what does it mean to have Ahavas Hashem, what does it mean to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu? It literally drives me nuts that we have bumper stickers that say, thank you, Hashem. The stupidest thing in the world, I'm sorry to say, it's so stupid. You really think that's an expression of Ahavas Hashem? Do you really believe that with your blow-up machine that says, thank you, Hashem, on your lawn? That's Ahavas Hashem? Again, maybe it's bringing an awareness that HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists. Maybe that's the point. But do you think that that's an expression of Ahavas Hashem? Is that what it means? To love HaKadosh Baruch Hu means to do that? To sing thank you Hashem? That's what it means? Says the Rambam. What does Ahavas Hashem really mean? What is Ahavas Hashem? Kesad hi ha'ava ha'ru'uya. What does it mean to be in love with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? It means sheyev es Hashem ahava gedola yisera. To have an intense, excessive love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Aza ma'od. Until your entire essence is bound up with the Ribbono Shel Olam v'nimtza shoga bo tamid. Take an example. You have someone who's sick in your family, Rachmana Litzlan. Rachmana Litzlan. A child is deathly sick. It consumes your entire essence. You can't do anything else. I've been in hospitals with parents, with High Lifeline parents. They don't eat, they don't sleep, they don't drink, they don't do anything. not because they have an eating disorder, and not because they're making a decision or a choice not to, but because you think I have a second to think about eating or drinking or sleeping? It's not even on the radar. I have a sick child who's undergoing treatment. This is not the priority right now. This consumes every waking second of my day. Everything. This is what it is. Says the Rambam, that's what Avas Hashem means. It should be so all-consuming, there's nothing else in the world that matters. This is all I think about every waking second of my day. You ever go to a Sheva Brachas and you see the Chasan and Kala sitting there with 100 guests who are all coming in their honor, and all they're doing is whispering at each other and winking at each other? It's like ad nauseum. Like there's nobody else in the room. And you ask yourself, who raised these kids? Are they so disrespectful? And how can it be? Every chassan and kala are the same. Were they all raised in such dysfunctional homes? Where their schools and their parents never taught them how to have basic respect and derech eretz? When you're in a room with other people, you should acknowledge that they're here, especially if they've come in your honor. So what is it? You're lovesick. That's what it is. You're lovesick in a positive way. You're so infatuated by your spouse that you've just come to know. It's like there's no one else in the room. It's actually like there's no one else in the room. It's not that I'm being disrespectful. It's that I'm just so overwhelmed by this new reality of my life that I don't even know where to put myself. And you know what? There's no one else I would want to talk to in the room other than this person. Says the Rambam, Nimtza shoga botamid ki'ilu chola choli ahava. Like a person who is lovesick, sitting at that Sheva Brachas. Says the Rambam, that's what Avas Hashem means. She'ein daito pinuya me'avas osa isha. The spouse cannot think about anyone else in the room and is not interested in talking to anybody. All you want to do is get out of here. It's so paradoxical. We make a Sheva Brachas in honor of the Chasan Kala, and there's nowhere they'd rather be more, less than here. It's amazing. Listening to speeches, talking about their parents. It's fascinating. The whole Sheva Brachas concept is fascinating. But why do they want to not be here? Not because they're antisocial, but because they're lovesick, says the Rambam. Bein b'shifto, bein mekumo, bein b'shashu, ocha v'shosa, when you're eating, when you're drinking, all you're worrying about, all you're thinking about. Yeser mizeh, more than that. Tia avas Hashem b'leiv avav, shogim batamid. That's what Avas Hashem means, and says the Rambam, this is what Shlomo HaMelech means when he says in Shir HaShirim, Ki cholas ahava ani. I'm lovesick with you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what Avas Hashem means. To be lovesick. To be infatuated. There's nothing else in the world. You ever met a person like this in your life? No? It's Kedai. Once in your life to meet a person who has no ulterior motives when they talk to you. There's nothing else in the world that matters to them other than Ratzon Hashem. Nothing. You know, this Shabbos, now that Samara's here, I'm going to share the secret. It's over already. But we had a very special kavod this Shabbos. One of the greatest Rosh Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael was here for Shabbos in Woodmere. He decided he wanted a quiet Shabbos. He's 95 or 96 years old, or a Baruch Mardechai Ezrachi. And he's not well, and he travels with a doctor, and he's on oxygen when he's in his room, and he has so much medical treatment. Why they schlep him around, I have no idea. But he was here in Woodmere for Shabbos, and Samara and her family hosted him and asked me to come over, and it was such a kavod to be there. But something that I was most struck by was this. Correct me if I'm wrong. He sat at the table Friday night and was sleeping most of the meal. I'm not blaming him. He's 95 years old. He's entitled. He's sick. He can't walk. He's on a wheelchair. Sleeping most of the meal. There was a lot of noise there. 20 people sitting around the table. He's not well. After the meal, we had an Onig Shabbos. Came out to the table, fell asleep again. I felt horrible. I said, he's not here to entertain us. Let him go to sleep. Let's all go home. His two handlers were jabbing him the whole time. You know, oh, people came. I said, stop. Leave the man alone. We're all happy to go home. It's fine. Then I realized they weren't going to let up. So the best thing to do is to just tell him, maybe say something, and then you can go to sleep. That's the only way out. So I turned to him and I said, you know, people came together. We'd love to hear from the Rosh Hashiva. So he said, okay, can you translate? I said, fine. So we decided that I was going to translate, and we're sitting there, and he starts talking. It was amazing to me to see a person who has nothing left other than his core essence. And when he starts talking Divrei Torah, it's like there's nothing wrong. Shabbos morning, same thing. He came into davening when we were up to Shemona Esrei. We made a minyan in the house for him. He's literally not well. Fell asleep in the middle of his aliyah. Chazak. I'm not saying this out of criticism. I'm saying he's really not well. And yet, when we had Kiddush after davening, and there were some yeshiva guys who were there who maybe didn't realize or appreciate that you shouldn't hack a chinek, a 95-year-old Rosh Yeshiva, just leave him alone. But okay, I wasn't going to stop them. So they went over to him, and they start talking to him in the middle of a sugya that they were learning, that he's not learning. And they were asking him, you know, Tosa says this, we're learning Yevamos the very beginning, which is complicated in the first place. And they start making him nuts. And he's firing back at them. And it was amazing to me. You see, the core essence of a person comes out. It's nothing else in this man's life for the last 70 years other than teaching Torah. Nothing else in this man's life other than teaching Torah. Other than learning Torah. And when you have nothing left, that's what comes out. Because that's who you are. That, says the Rambam, is Avas Hashem. Nothing else in the world matters. There is nothing that matters, because there's nothing that can compare to this experience of being connected with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know, it's interesting. We say Shir HaShirim on Pesach. And as we mentioned, Pesach is a time when the whole love story with HaKadosh Baruch Hu began. But the truth is, why do we single out Shir HaShirim? There is another song that we're all very familiar with that also talks about the love story between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Jewish people. And we don't say that on Pesach. Anybody knows what story that is? What is that song? You should all know it very well. Esh Haschayil is also a story from Tanakh. It's a beautiful story from Mishle, which talks about a husband's love for his wife and appreciation for her. But yet, it's really an allegory that's talking about our relationship with the Ribono Shel Olam. So why do we choose Shir HaShirim as opposed to Esh Haschayil? Esh Haschayil is much shorter, much more succinct. You don't have prakim upon prakim and description upon description. So why do we choose Shir HaShirim over Esh Haschayil? And I thought maybe perhaps the answer is, if you look through the words of Esh Haschayil, Esh Haschayil describes the tremendous talent of this woman, the capabilities of this particular person, how savvy she is, how skilled she is. Sudden asasava timkar, she makes all of these fabrics and she knows how to sew and how to knit, and then she goes out to the market and she sells it. Darsha tzemer upishtim, mi merchak tavi lachma, velechem asadlo sochal, vatitin terav levesa, she's taking care of the kids, she's going out to do business, marvadim asasala, on and on and on. You look through the psukim, it describes the amazing talent of this person and how blessed I am to be married to her. That's the description of Esh Haschayil. What is the description of Shir HaShirim? If you go through the psukim, what does it say? Everything that is described is of the natural, pure essence of a person and what they were born with. What does it say? Sa'arech ke'eda ra'izim. This husband is doting on his wife, and he says, I look at your hair, and I mean, it would not be such a compliment for us to turn to our spouses and say, you remind me of goats. Don't try it at home. Not a great idea. But the description that he's trying to say is, I'm so enamored by your beauty. Navu l'chayayach batorim. Your cheeks, your neck is like a tzavarech b'charuzim, yafa inayach yonim. Your eyes look like birds, like angels. Kolech arev, your voice is just so magnificent and beautiful. Marech nava, every time I look at you, I look at your teeth. Shinayach ke'eder aktsuvos kechut hashani sifso sayach. I look at your lips, and I look at this part of your body, and that, every single description, but everything that's there, and how infatuated he is with his spouse, everything is just natural beauty. You haven't done anything. There's no description of, I love you because you have raised my children, because you have given me love, because you have gone out to the marketplace and been able to help support our family, because you're so talented, because you're so wonderful. Nothing. All that's there is, I'm so unbelievably overwhelmed by your beauty, and this part of you, and that part of you, everything. The description, you go into Shir HaShirim and you start reading the English, or you understand the Hebrew, you'll see description of every single part of a person's body and every single aspect of who they are and how they were created and how infatuated he is with his spouse. Maybe that's why we read it on Pesach. Because the Medrash tells us, when our Kadosh Baruch Hu was prepared to do the great miracle of Kriyas Yamsuf, the Malachi Asharis turned to the Ribbono Shel Olam and said, these people? Halalu Ovdei Avodah Zarah? These people who are the lowest of the low? These people who have nothing to show for themselves, who abandoned your Torah, who didn't believe in you all those years in Egypt? You're going to do a miracle for them? Why? Why? Halalu Ovdei Zarah? The Halalu Ovdei Avodah Zarah. What's the difference between them and the rest of the world? Why choose them? What's that all about? We say it in the Haggadah Shel Pesach. Va'at erom ve'erya. What does it mean? You are naked. What does it mean? Va'at erom ve'erya. Why are the Jewish people referred to as naked? Says the Medrash. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to take the Jewish people out of Egypt, v'lo haya biyadam mitzvah sheyisasku bahem, they had not done a single good thing to be worthy of this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns to them and says, va'at erom ve'erya. You're naked. You have nothing to show for yourself. Nothing. Nothing positive in your life. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I don't know what to do. What should I do? These people are unworthy. They have nothing positive, nothing good to show for their existence. HaKadosh Baruch Hu came up quickly with an idea. Let's come up with the idea of Dan Pesach. I'm going to give them a mitzvah that they should be busy with, and maybe that will make them somewhat worthy. You know why we read Shir HaShirim on Pesach? Pesach is the time when we remind ourselves, even if you've done nothing, you're not that Esh Hashchayil. You're not the one who's so talented, who's invested so much in her family. You're not the person who goes out to business and brings home money and food for the kids. And you don't have all these wonderful qualities. All you are is the natural person who I love. Sometimes you see it with a couple. When one spouse is struggling with a tremendous debilitating illness, and they're no longer the person that you remember them to be. But sometimes you see the power of that love that exists between them. Do you love the person only because of all the things they do for you? Or have you come to love and appreciate the person because in your essence, in your foundation, you have a tremendously powerful love for that individual. That's not contingent on anything. It's a ava she'ena tluya b'davar. Even when you are incapacitated, and even when you're no longer able to do the things that I remember you being able to do for me, I still love you. Why do I love you? Because I love you. Can't explain it. And I'm willing to do anything for you. And I'm so inspired when I see couples like that. I think we should all be inspired. It shows what real love is all about. It shows what real love is all about. That's the story of Shir HaShirim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu turning to the Jewish people and saying, let's remember, you came out of Mitzrayim, you had nothing to show for yourself, nothing good to present. but I love you anyway. Not because Eish Chayil, not because you're so impressive, not because you have so much Mesiras Nefesh, not because you did so many mitzvos. I love you because Ahavti Eschem Amar Hashem. Because I love you at your core and your essence. And that's why we read Shir HaShirim on Pesach. In describing the story of the Karban Pesach, we'll end with this. There are many details and instructions that were given that were only relevant to that generation. It was what we refer to as a Hora'as Shah. It was an instruction that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave that was only temporary. Obviously, we don't tie a sheep to our bed every year. And obviously, we don't run out of the house at Chatzos like they did in the days of Mitzrayim. So let's read a Pasuk together, number Zion. What are we told by that first Karban Pesach? V'higatem el hamashkof, you should slaughter the Karban Pesach. Then you should come to the doorpost, v'al shteyam zuzos, and you should take that blood that you have in the basket. V'atem lo seitzu ish mi pesach beso ad boker, and everybody must remain in their homes. U'shmartem es hadavar azeh l'chak l'chau l'vanecha ad olam. And you need to remember this, that this should be l'chak l'cha, this should be what you do, you and your children, and for all of the remainder of Jewish history. The Ibn Ezra and the Arachayim HaKadosh pose the obvious question. What? Who does that? Let's say after the Seder I want to take a walk outside. Am I not allowed to? And let's say this year, Erev Pesach, you decide, you know, it would be so nice if I put blood over my doorpost. It would just be like such an uplifting Pesach for me. We would laugh at you. Because that's not what the Torah wants you to do. So, why does the Torah say here, in giving these instructions, that this is l'chak l'cha u'levanecha ad olam? That this is something that for all of the remainder of Jewish history you need to do and you need to exercise. When, of course, we know that that is not the case. That's the question, the staggering question of the Arachayim HaKadosh and the Ibn Ezra on Chumash. And you look there, you'll find their answer. And I thought perhaps the answer is, the Torah says here, U'shmartem es hadavar hazeh. Shmartem doesn't mean to observe. It means to preserve. U'shmartem means, remember this moment. Remember the message. Remember the fact that you were Eirom ve'Eriah, that you were so low, that you had nothing to show for yourself, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose you anyway. Remember that the Ribono Shel Olam loves you. And don't ever be discouraged. Don't ever be disappointed. Don't ever be frustrated to the point that you believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is out of your life. Remind yourself of this moment, U'shmartem es hadavar hazeh. Remember everything that transpired by Yetzias Mitzrayim. Remember that you have the ability to rekindle and reactivate, to reawaken and rearouse your relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu wherever you feel it might be. And however much you have disappointed the Ribono Shel Olam, or you feel He has disappointed you, if you feel things are not right in your life, or the Ribono Shel Olam thinks that things are not the way they should be as far as you're concerned, don't forget, U'shmartem es hadavar hazeh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Pasuk says in Sefer Malachi, Ahavti Eschem Amar Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I love you. Va'amartem, and you say back, Bama Ahavtanu. Why did you love us? There was Esav and Yaakov. Why do you love us? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Va'ahev es Yaakov. It's just the way it is. The Jewish people are the ones who were chosen. That's what it is. Ki Yaakov Bachar Lo Ka Yisrael Is Gulaso. We are the child of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we are the Yam Segula, the Yam HaNivchar. Do we deserve to be that all the time? Of course not. Do we live up to that expectation that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for us? No, we don't. Is there an 80% intermarriage rate in the United States now? Yes, there is. Are we still the Yam Segula? Yes. Va'at Eirom Ve'Eriah. Has there ever been a generation where the Jews are disappearing like they are today? Where they're Eirom ve'Eriah like we are today? But yet, U'shmartem es hadavar hazeh. The Ramchal writes in the Das Tfunos, just listen to this and then I'll end. Let me tell you a foundational principle, says the Ramchal, the who, and that is, sheyesh l'knesses Yisrael shoresh shel kedusha. There is a spark of holiness in every single Jew. Shehi klalis l'chala umah kedusha mitzad heyosam Yisrael, just because you're a Jew, not because you did anything, not because sadin asasava timkar, not because you're so impressive in the way all the Eishes Chayil describes, but because simply, Shir HaShirim's description of who you are beautiful just because you're beautiful. Because I'm your spouse and I love you. Pesach is the time for us to take the opportunity to reimagine, to fantasize about what a true relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu can really be about. And forgetting about how many times we have been disappointed, how many thousands and millions more times HaKadosh Baruch Hu has been disappointed. It's an opportunity for all of us to realize, Ahavti Eschem Amar Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I love the Jewish people just because I have chosen to do so. And it's an Ahava She'ena Teluya Badavar. It's not only because you do Torah mitzvos. It's an Ahava that's there just because of naturally who you are in your essence and at your core. And that's the opportunity that Pesach gives us to think about. To think about not Eishes Chayil, but to think about Shir HaShirim. What it means for all of our own personal relationship with the Ribono Shel Olam. How much opportunity is out there to reimagine, to reactivate, to reinvigorate all that that relationship represents for us and all that it is supposed to mean for the Ribono Shel Olam, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu as well. So I wish everyone a Chag Kasher V'Sameach.